hey, good morning, good morning. Who's freezing today? Anybody cold? Man, the north has come south, but that's okay. It'll go back to where it came from shortly. But I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're watching with us online if you joined us that way. And I just want to say a great big welcome. It's warm in here, right? The spirit is warm in here, right? Yeah, okay, four of you. The spirit is warm in here because we're with Jesus' people and we're with God's presence. And so that makes everything that we need for life. And so I want to say to you, today is such an important day because twice a year we do what we're doing today, and that is our winter and spring. Yes, I know it seems like spring's never coming, but it is. Winter and spring life group launch. And so if you haven't found your people yet, you haven't found a group yet, we have life group guides in the foyer that are available, physical copies. If you need a digital copy, you can scan the QR code on the screen, or if you're watching online there, if you're in the room, the pew in front of you has a QR code, you can scan it. It'll take you to the top three things happening. The number one on the list is life group launch, and you can see the groups that we have available. And this semester, we are starting 7 brand new groups. And so you can see, isn't that awesome? It's amazing. And so you can see the leaders and the name of the group. So I say that because I want you to know there's room for you. If you haven't found a spot yet or your people yet or your group yet, there's room for you. And so we want to do everything we can to help you connect, because if you're just coming in and out and you haven't met your people, you haven't found your community, that changes everything about your worship, your engagement, about your Christian life. We weren't made to do life alone. And as we say at Kingwood all the time, life is better. Not going to work. Life is better. Yes. You almost meant it. Life is better. Yes. There you go. There you go. All right. Love it. Love it. So help us find your group and help us to extend that open door to you. And all our life group leaders are going to be, after service, they're going to be in the foyer, and they're ready to meet you, to answer questions, to tell you about their group. We know there's a group that's right for you, so we hope that you'll take that step today and start that journey of community. So in January, we started the year with 21 days of prayer and fasting, because the word that we heard the Lord say to us, that we discerned was His direction for our church, was that we are to prepare. In this season, we are to prepare for everything that God is doing and everything God wants to do. So we took that seriously, and although we do 21 days of prayer every year, we were focused specifically on preparing our hearts for everything He wants to do. So we fasted, we prayed, we sought His face, we repented of our sins. It was a beautiful time, and that work continues. Last Sunday, after service, we had a meeting with almost 100 of the leaders in our church, and we did a time of training to prepare our leaders for this season, and that work continues. And so today, we're going to start a new series that aligns with that direction of prepare, and we want to talk about preparing our resources. So there's three things that we're trying to do this year to follow the word the Lord's given us. It is to prepare our hearts, it is to prepare our leaders, and it is to prepare our resources. And so this series, starting today and the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about how do you move from what the Bible's going to describe as bondage to freedom in the area of finance. We're going to talk about debt. And that is the best way that I know how to prepare for any kind of future. Let me just tell you, every version of your future is better without debt. And so, what does the Bible say about debt? Proverbs 22:7 says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender." Now, unfortunately, most of us discover that truth too late. We discover it after we're already in debt. We discover it after we've maybe gone along with the flow of the culture and gotten ourselves into a jam, and then we learn just how true it is. And the reason that happens is because we live in a debt culture. We in America, we live in a debt culture, which means it's normal to be in debt. Now, this series isn't about like, look, debt's the devil, and if you have any debt, you're the devil, okay? That's not what the series is. We just want to teach the truths of Scripture about what the Bible says about it and realize how we can live that truth in a culture that's going the wrong way. What do I mean by that? Well, the U.S. national debt today stands at $38.5 trillion. That represents $356,000 per taxpayer. So let me tell you what that means. That's like kind of like close to an average mortgage of debt for every taxpayer in America. And we add $6 billion of debt every day. So that's today, and tomorrow we'll do six again, and the next day we'll do six again, and the next day, and by next Sunday, that'll be $42 billion more dollars of debt than we had today. And it goes on and on and on and on and on with no end in sight. At some point, it's going to break. I'm not an economist nor a prophet. I don't know when, and I don't know how, but I believe we've lived in a false sense of security because we just keep racking debt up with no consequences. But I do believe the consequences are coming. And do you know who's going to do the best? Who's going to fare that storm the best when the consequences arrive? Those who have the least debt and no debt. Those are the people who are going to do the best whenever the consequences show up. So that's why we as a church are going to do everything we can do this year to get out of debt. And I'm going to share with you how we're going to do that and all of that later in the series. But for now, I want this series to be a message of hope for you and encouragement for you to do everything that you can do to get out of debt. Because not only is our government not doing very well with debt, according to latest statistics, individuals aren't doing that well. 77% of Americans carry debt. Americans owe $1.3 trillion in credit card debt. That's $8,177 for every credit card holder. That's a lot of money. And by the way, Christians aren't doing that well either. According to George Barna, 56% of practicing Christians have a low financial flourishing score. Now, that's what I mean by debt culture. Debt is normal, but here's the challenge for us as believers. You can't live on mission when you have no margin. If the seeds that you have, if you have to consume them all to live, you have nothing to plant. That applies to time, it applies to money, it applies to energy, to creativity, it applies to every part of our life. So what does financial slavery look like? It could look like this. Credit card debt, increasing student loans, paycheck to paycheck living, constantly upgrading technology that you can't afford, an endless desire for a bigger house, car payments for life, endless buy now, pay later schemes, too many subscriptions and monthly fees, vacations and experiences beyond our means. Do you know what one of the fastest growing addictions in America is today? Do you know what it is? It's online sports gambling with apps like FanDuel and DraftKings. And let me tell you, they are making billions of dollars primarily targeting young men who don't think it's a big deal just to run a bet on a game, run a bet on this, run a bet on that. And they are spending billions of dollars in marketing and targeting and algorithms trying to find you on your phone and make it as easy as you can to just run a bet. And they're siphoning money out of your life, and it is going to people who are getting richer and richer and richer, which is part of what Proverbs means. So this series is about how God set his people free from slavery from Pharaoh, and how it's God's will to set every believer free. Like, God's will for your life and mine is freedom. It's not bondage of any kind. And what we'll learn in this series is just like the people of Israel who were in bondage to Pharaoh, when you serve the wrong things, it enslaves your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength. Now, Pharaoh, he ruled in historic levels of oppression and cruelty. But you know what? We have pharaohs today. They might rule differently. They oftentimes comes in this kind of form, in sexual immorality, in pornography, in fear and anxiety and anger and bitterness and unforgiveness, addictions and gluttony, people-pleasing, fame, popularity, debt, money, and material things. But here's the good news. God has a plan to free us from all forms of captivity. All. Say that word with me. All. All forms of captivity. Because the Bible says, him who the Son sets free is free indeed. So from the Exodus story, I want to share three truths with you this morning. And if you want to jot these down, you only have to jot them down if you want to go to heaven. Otherwise, you're fine. I'm sure everything will be fine. Let me give you three truths this morning from the story. So you may know the story of the Exodus. God sent 10 terrible plagues of judgment on Pharaoh and on Egypt, because he wanted his, that's how important it was for him to free his people. And finally, those under the weight and judgment of those plagues, it broke Pharaoh down, and he finally said, fine, you know, let the people go, get them out of here. But something strange happened next. Exodus 12, 33 says this, the Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country. Like, yeah, no more plagues, you know, no more frogs and no more of that. Get them out of here. For otherwise, they said, we will all die. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. So the slaves on their way out of town go, by the way, on our way out, the Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people. Who did that? The Lord did it. And they gave them what they asked for, so they plundered the Egyptians. So here's the first truth we see. Number one, God is our provider. And once you receive this truth and apply it to your life, it changes so many things about your life. Once you realize every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights above, it changes so many things about your life. But you may be, if you're keeping score and you're reading the verse, you may be saying, wait a minute, time out. They plundered the Egyptians. So like looting the people who had you captive on your way out the door doesn't feel like God's provision. It feels like revenge. You would be right except for one thing. Generations before this occurred, God prophesied that he would supply in this exact way. Look at Genesis 15, 13. Then the Lord said to Abraham, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants, the Israelites, will be strangers in a country not their own, Egypt, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there, but I will punish the nation. They serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. This is hundreds of years before it even occurred. Just like then, just like in Israel, just like in the Old Testament, God's promise stands for us. He was their provider, and he's our provider, because in the New Testament, in Philippians, Paul the Apostle said, and my God will meet all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So you might be thinking, great, God's our provider. Then I can just live any way I want, and he's on the hook to fix it. That's what the Israelites thought. And you can see it in the way that they lived. Because it wasn't long after this miraculous provision that they forgot the number one truth that we learned today, and that is that God is our provider. So Moses is leading the people. This is not long after all this went down. He leads them to the foot of Mount Sinai. And now it's God's will to try to help his people transition from a psyche, from a mind frame of slavery into freedom. That doesn't just happen overnight. So what does he do? He calls Moses to the top of the mountain. He's going to give him what we know are the Ten Commandments. And why did he do that? Because he's trying to prepare them to live. They've lived in slavery for 400 years. He's trying to prepare them to live in freedom. And so he's saying, hey, we want to establish a new nation and a new culture and a new way of doing things. And in this new culture, in this new nation, people are going to be free to worship. And people are going to care about each other. And so that's what God was doing. However, the problem is Moses was up on the mountain for 40 days. And the people begin to say, man, where'd he go? I'm tired of waiting. And look at Exodus 32. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron, who was Moses' brother. And by the way, he was like vice president. He was the co-captain. So when Moses was out, he was in charge. And so they came to him because Moses was gone. Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing. Bring them to me. So they already forgot the first truth, and that is that God is the provider. And they've already forgotten that. Now here's the second truth. Number two, giving in to impatience often leads us to misuse God's resources. How do I get that out of that story? Where do you think they got the earrings that they took off to make into a golden calf? They got them from Egypt. Who gave them to them? God provided the raw material for that jewelry, and now they're going to take what God gave them, and they're about to misuse it. And you know why they're going to do it? Because they're impatient. They're tired of waiting. Have you ever done that? Have you ever used any of the provision that God gave to you, and you've misused it because you were tired of waiting on something that you felt like should have already happened? Maybe you got a bonus, or you got some extra money you weren't expecting, and instead of using it wisely, you bought something that you couldn't afford because you didn't want to wait. I mean, I think we've all bought something we couldn't afford at some point. So we know the feeling, right? We put it on the credit card or we run things up. And we know when we do it, it's not wise. Why do we do it? We're tired of waiting. And you know what? Our entire culture screams at us, you don't have to wait for anything. But the truth of the scripture says, wait on God's timing. And despite all the good things, the big things, do you see what all God's done for them? He's released them from the harsh oppression of slavery and bondage. He's bringing them into freedom. He's giving them 10 commandments. He's giving them the culture of a new nation. He's starting something better and new and fresh. And on the way out, the Egyptians just throw their silver and gold at them? They already forgot all that. And they're tired of waiting. And Exodus 32 says this, so all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. They take the jewelry and they make a dumb little golden baby cow. And they say, this is the God now. This is the one who actually did it. So they already forgot that God was their provider, and now they've grown impatient and they begin to take matters into their own hands, which brings us to the third truth. Trusting anything more than God usually ends in disaster. Now, you may say, wait a minute. I got friends all over social media, and they're trusting all kinds of things, and they look like they're doing fine. They got the cars or the clothes or the lifestyle, and everything looks like it's going fine. Can I just tell you, disaster doesn't always show up in financial ways. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes disaster shows up in secret addictions. Sometimes it shows up in family dysfunction, in depression, in selfishness, in loneliness, in brokenness. Now look, most of us aren't going to take, you know, our jewelry and melt it and make a baby cow and worship it. That seems silly to us. But can I just tell you, some of the things that we worship would seem silly to them. Because it's not like we don't have any idols ourselves or we don't have any ways of coping. Most of us aren't going to make our own gods, but we have our own way of coping. When you feel impatient, when you feel untrusting, when you're tired of waiting on God, where do you turn? What does that look like for you? Is it shopping therapy? Is it eating out? Is it overspending? Is it a luxury? Like, what does it look like in your life? When you begin to if you think making your own God is strange, look what they did next. Exodus 32:5. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf. So the little baby gold cow now has its own altar. Tomorrow there will be a festival. It has a festival and a party. It's like Mardi Gras for the baby cow. So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Let me tell you what that means in the Hebrew. They dedicated, this is a dedication service to their false god, followed by a sacrilegious party. And if you look in the original Hebrew, that ended in a drunken orgy. If you don't know what that is, ask your parents. But that's how it ended. Now, can I just say the truth again? Trusting in anything other than God usually ends in disaster, and boy, was this a disaster. And it was a big one. It was a giant one. Now, again, we don't make our own gods, but you know what? Every day, you and I are tempted to trust something other than God. It may be our job, it may be our money, it may be our reputation, it may be our spouse, it might be our intellect, it might be our knowledge, it might be our experience. It might be our know-how. It might be the reputation that we've built. But every day we are tempted to trust something more than we trust God, and that's a setup for disaster. So I have a question for you today. Are you living under God's provision? Are you living under the rule of a Pharaoh? Are you a good steward of the things that God has provided for you? Are you setting yourself up for disaster? Are you living outside your means? Do you get to the end of every month and wonder where the money that you had went? Well, what can you do? Well, just like the children of Israel, this is a journey, and you don't move from slavery to freedom overnight. There was a specific moment that Pharaoh broke down and said, let them go, get them out of here. But it's not like in that moment the people walked in complete and absolute freedom. That was the beginning of freedom. But they walked in the wilderness, and they walked to Mount Sinai, and they had the golden calf, and they got the Ten Commandments, and they go to the Promised Land, and they got giant. And look, it's the same. It will most likely be the same way for you. You are not going to walk from bondage to freedom in one moment. Because even if God were to miraculously set you free from something in an instant, you know what's going to be next? You have to learn how to live free. Because life's taught you how to live bound. And so as you still, there's still more to come. It's not one thing. And so here's the thing, though. The journey takes time, and it takes wisdom, and it takes work. And it'll probably take longer than you think. However, God will also likely do more than you can imagine. But you gotta be willing to say, God, I trust you with this. So what can you do? Let me give you three things you can do, okay? Number one, apply what you learned from the Unchained series. It's not what you know that impacts your life, it's what you do. So take the notes, learn what you can learn, and look, next week, the smartest person that I know in the area of finance is going to be here teaching this part two of this to you, It's Pastor Clark White, who's been on our team for 28 years. He's a CPA, and you do not want to miss the opportunity to hear anything he has to say about stewardship. And so next week he's going to be teaching, and then the last week I'm going to come and finish. So lock in, take notes, apply what you're learning. Number two, sign up for the one-for-one club. What do I mean by that? So if you don't know what that is, if you're new to Kingwood, the one-for-one club basically just says this. You're going to start a journey of giving, which means you'll give 1% or more to the church for a year, and that starts a journey. Remember I said it's a journey. And here's why I would encourage you to take the journey. It's our job as a church to try to grow you in spiritual health, in spiritual maturity. Well, the New Testament says that part of our spiritual maturity is growing in generosity. That's part of our soul formation. And so we created this resource to help you do that. Now, when you sign up for that, and you can go on our website and go to Manage Well, and you can find it there and sign up if you want to sign up. When you sign up, here's what happens. You make that commitment, and what we do is we have 12 resources that we send you, one a month, automatically. You never have to do another thing. They're just going to show up in your inbox. And we send them to you, and they're on the 12 topics that you see on the screen here. And it's the best teaching and instruction and truth that we know of in these 12 topics that we think will help you grow. And so here again, though, if you get the email and you read them and don't do anything, you know what? It won't do anything. Nothing changes because we know more. Things change when we do something different. So here's the final one, the third one. Sign up for Kingwood's True Financial Freedom Life Group. So this semester only, we're running it's called True Financial Freedom Life Group, and it's going to be 6 sessions, 2 hours long, on Sunday evening. So if you're part of another life group, you can be part of both of these. It's going to start the end of this month, and it's an opportunity for you in an environment where you have people who are on the same journey that you're on, and you can do the journey with them. Now, let me tell you this. I can tell you where people get the most traction. People get the most traction in their own stewardship, in their own growth, when they take a journey with other people. So if you get in the room with other people doing what you're doing, it encourages you, and you hear, what you start to hear through the interaction is, oh, people aren't that different. We're all struggling with the same things. We're all trying to figure this out. And I don't want to embarrass him, but the smartest guy that I know in the area of finance, Pastor Clark White, is going to teach it. And so I want to speak directly to every Gen Z and millennial in our church watching online or in person. This is not your grandparents' economy. Life has changed a ton. And it's not fair, and it's not fair to you. But there's nothing we can do about that. My encouragement to you is get the best financial teaching you can get now. And if I were you, I would make a beeline for that group and I would sign up for it today, because it's going to make a big impact on your life if you'll apply it now and for a long time. Now, there are materials involved. There's, you know, video and all this stuff. And the course costs money. Here's what I want to say to you if you're a Gen Z or a millennial, or you just think the course is right for you. It's not limited to those two generations. Here's what I want to say to you. We will cover 100% of the cost. You don't have to pay anything. We want to make an investment in you. Just sign up and show up and do the work. And listen, we want something for you. We don't want something from you. So we're going to pay all the cost. All we're asking you to do is, if this is something that you need, sign up and show up, and it starts at the end of this month. So the same God that unchained the children of Israel from slavery wants to unchain all of us from all our bondage. Now, maybe today you feel stuck, you feel weighed down, you feel like maybe you've had some area, maybe it's finance, maybe it's 100 other things, but you feel like I've been stuck in this area, and it's the way I was raised, and it's the way my, you know, parents were, and it's the way my family is, and it's the way my personality is, and I'm stuck here, and I'll never be free. No matter what I do, I'll never be free. Freedom is for other people. It's not for people like me. And maybe it's a money pharaoh. Maybe it's a debt pharaoh. Maybe it's a fear. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's a painful past. I want to proclaim to you that Jesus came to set you free from all forms of bondage. And I want you to hear that truth today and receive it. And I don't want you to just hear it from me. I want you to hear it from Jesus. I want to read to you what the Bible says that Jesus came to do in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Who's speaking? Jesus said this. Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Jesus didn't just come to help you survive. He came to break every chain. Every chain. And so I want to proclaim that over your life today and speak that truth over your life. He didn't come to just rescue you for a moment. He came to set you free for life. And Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ set you free. What's the purpose that he set you free for? To stay free. To live free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. So this morning, Jesus offers us a way out of every kind of bondage the world can give to us. Would you stand with me this morning? And as our worship team is coming, I want to ask you to do something. I just want to ask you to make space in your heart, okay? Whether you're online or in the room, I just want to ask you to make space, make a little room. And I just want you to open your heart and mind to the hope and the truth and the possibility that Jesus has a different life for you than the one you've already known. He has a different experience and a different freedom and a different liberty. And whatever anyone said to you, and whatever anyone told you, and whatever life has done to you, that's not the truest truth. The truest truth is what Jesus has said about you and what he's spoken over your life. And so as our worship team is coming, would you just close your eyes for a minute? And Lord, today we quiet our heart and we open our mind and we make room. And I pray as we sing this song with our worship team, I pray that you would just open the doors and unlock the windows of our soul.